Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 26. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 26. And the subject of our message today is to live or die. To live or die. Let's read the text. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide, and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, Paul's life was so tied to the Lord Jesus Christ that he would rather die than live so he could be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 21, to die is gain. In verse 23, he said to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, how could he come to the decision that it was better to die than it was to live unless he knew something about what would happen to him after he died? Well, he did know. First of all, he knew where he was going when he would die. He knew where he was going when he died. You know, it's an amazing thing, but when you visit with people today and you ask them, are you 100% sure if you were to die now, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Well, you've never heard so many answers to that question in all your life. Honestly, there's just one of two answers, either yes, you do, or no, you don't. But you ask people today, are you 100% sure where you are going when you die? If the answer is yes, then truthfully, there's only one of two places. You either know for sure you're going to hell, or yes, you know for sure you're going to heaven. And that's all there is. See, it's very simple, but people make these things very complicated. Paul obviously knew where he was going when he died, and he knew it wouldn't be hell. Otherwise, why would he want to die? He knew where he was going when he died because God wants you to know where you're going when you die. Now, if I asked you the question, are you 100% sure you know where you're going when you die, and you're not 100% sure, then you're hedging your bet. You hope that you go to heaven, obviously. I don't know that I've ever met anybody that hoped they were going to hell. I think I met some people that thought they were going there, but they didn't hope they were going there. I'm sure you hope you go to heaven, but you ought to have more certainty than that. Look in 1 John chapter 5 at verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that what? Ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. John wrote that so that you would know that you have eternal life. Now, if you were to tell me, no man knows for sure, I've had many people tell me that, that wouldn't be true. That would be a false statement according to the Bible. No man knows for sure if he's depending upon his own opinion, but he knows for sure if he's depending upon what God said, because John said, these things have I written unto you. I have the written word of God, and so do you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So if you don't know, it's your own failure to study the Bible and see what God said so that you could know. Now, it's very simple. Everything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to simplicity when it concerns the salvation of a soul. You're a sinner. Christ died for sinners, therefore he died for you. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sin debt. You cannot pay for your own. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And when you receive him as your Savior, you're saved. And you know you're saved because that's why he wrote this stuff to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're either saved and don't know it because you're not spending any time in the book. That's not likely. Or you're saved and you know it. And if you don't know it, you're probably not saved. That's the way that goes. And if you're probably not saved, you ought to be sure you're saved. You say, well, I'd like to be sure that I'm saved. Well, that's very simple. Can you at least acknowledge that you're a sinner? I've only met 3 people in my life who couldn't, and after we showed them what the Bible had to say about sin, they figured it out, and they could after that. Are you a sinner? Well, sure you are. Everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You a sinner? Well, good, then Christ died for you because Christ died for sinners. And there's no sin that you've committed that's too bad. Murder is about the worst thing you can think of, and Paul was a murderer, and God saved him. He wrote the epistle we're preaching out of today. How did he save him? He simply acknowledged the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died for him. He received Jesus Christ, and when he did, Jesus Christ saved him. Now, you want to be saved or not? If you're not, you're going to go to hell. And I don't say that gloatingly. I just say it very directly. I say it very, very matter-of-factly because that is the case. How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You can't put these matters off and hope to go to heaven. It's not possible. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You got it? Now, once you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're supposed to know what's going to happen to you when you die. Paul knew that he had eternal life. He wasn't afraid to die because he knew where he was going when he died. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, there you go. Paul knew that it was an instantaneous thing, that if he left this body, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he said. We leave this body through death, then we are present with the Lord. He knew that. And there was no doubt in his mind. That's why he wrote that down there. And that's why God allowed that to stay in there. That is the Word of God. Paul knew where he was going when he died. He knew he'd go straight to be with the Lord Jesus Christ the moment that he passed from this life. He wasn't afraid to die. As a matter of fact, he wanted that. Second thing that he knew is that he knew what was waiting for him. Not only did he know where he was going, he knew what was waiting for him. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about Paul. He's writing about himself in the third person here. But we read about Paul, and Paul got to see heaven. Look what he says in verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ, above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter, of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now, what he was saying is, I mean, he says concerning himself, he's going to glory in his infirmities, but concerning that experience that he had, whether it was a bodily experience or whether it was a spiritual experience, he knows that he was caught up to the third heaven. He was in paradise. He heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. That was a man in which he would glory. He wanted to be there. Now, John was given the opportunity to write for us and tell us what heaven looked like. You've often talked about the pearly gates. You've even told a joke and said, yeah, the fellow's standing up there talking to Peter at the pearly gates. How'd you know there were pearly gates up there? You've never seen them. You know them because John wrote about them. You know that the streets are paved with gold. Like the fellow that wanted to save up gold, take it with him to heaven, and he finally negotiated with God. God said, I don't let people bring anything up here. They have to come up here alone. He negotiated with God. God agreed to let him bring up some gold. Well, the guy packed as many gold bricks as he could in the biggest suitcase he could carry, and when he died, he presented those at the gates of heaven. And Peter said, what are you bringing that up here for? He said, well, I've got permission from God to bring it. He said, well, open it up. Let me see what it is. He said, well, it's solid gold bullion. Peter took one look at the solid gold bullion that was in the suitcase there, and he called John. He said, hey, buddy, come over here. Look at this thing, man. This is the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life. This fellow was given permission by God Almighty to bring anything up here that he wanted to, and he decided he'd bring this, what he calls, solid gold bullion up here, as if it was some great treasure. John and him had a big old laugh. Peter turned to the fella and he says, you may call it solid gold bullion where you came from, but up here we call it pavement. You see, it's kind of like that. How'd you know those streets were gold? John told you that. You've heard it in the Bible and you've read it. You believe it's so. You see, the walls are of jasper and all that other kind of stuff. Some of that stuff's been described. Paul knew what he was, what was waiting for him when he got up there. Heaven was real to him because he had seen it. Now he wrote about it. John wrote about it. We know now that it's real because it's in the words of God. There's not a doubt in my mind. Jesus told his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I told you that's up there. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. You know that song you've sung? It was real to him. You know the problem with a lot of Christians today? Heaven's not real to them. I mean, they read about it in the Bible, and it's supposedly up there, but what's real to them is their boat, their, you know, their big house, you know, their fast car, their beautiful wife, their lovely children, their dog, their golf cart. Those things are real to them. Their job, their retirement plan, their pension. But heaven's not real to them. It was real to Paul, and that's why he'd rather die than stay down here, because he knew what was waiting for him. Not only that, he knew what he would escape. He knew what he would escape. You know, we've become so accustomed to physical problems and going to the doctor to get them fixed and going to the hospital to get them operated on, we lose track of the fact that, you know, one of these days we're going to be given a body that will never get sick and never die. Listen, Paul served the Lord Jesus Christ with a great deal of zeal, and he was not afraid of anybody or anything. Now, that's a wonderful place to be. They talked of a soldier one time who was ill, and he had a terminal illness, and when he fought with such a zeal and courage. I mean, he would go through the front line, he would face the enemy, and nothing scared him. But then they found a cure for his illness, and when he took the cure, it actually cured his illness, and guess what? They could hardly get him out of the mess tent. Because now he was scared to die. Now all of a sudden he realized he had something to live for. When he didn't have anything else to live for because he knew he was going to die, he operated with a reckless abandon. He was fearless and had great courage. Well, Paul knew where he was going when he died. He knew what was waiting for him, and he knew what he would escape. It didn't concern him. He served God with a zeal because as far as he was concerned, he had a terminal illness. You know what his terminal illness was? Flesh. Flesh and the things that happened to him. Listen, when Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about his life, he said, I've been in prisons more often than anybody else that's preached. I labor more abundantly. I've received stripes above measure. I've been 40 stripes, save one, five times of the Jews. That's 195 of those. Thrice beaten with rods, once stoned, once suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Journeyings often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Well, who wouldn't want to get out of a body like that? The poor guy, every time he opened his mouth, somebody tried to stuff their fist in it. Every time he had something to say around Jews, they wanted to beat him up, lock him up. He had a horrible physical appearance because he'd been through so much tribulation. He knew what he would escape. Who wouldn't want to go to heaven after experiencing a life like that? You say, well, thank God I haven't had to go through any of that. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible does say, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, you keep living, you'll probably get some if you're trying to live godly. But let's say that nobody's whipping you, stoning you, and leaving you in the deep a day and a half in a shipwreck because, you know, your boat sunk on the way to a gospel ministry. Let's say the worst thing that's probably happened to you is have a flat on the way to church. And certainly, I don't mean to make light of it, but truthfully, very few of us have had the really horrible experiences happen on the way to church. Not like Paul. But I'll tell you something, you will escape, like he did. You'll escape the flesh. Paul knew, according to Romans chapter 7, He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You know what he said? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He wanted out of this body. He called himself a wretched man. He knew he would escape that. He also knew he would escape something else you and I have endured, spiritual warfare. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You like doing battle with the devil? I don't. You like doing battle with unclean spirits? I don't. I'm looking forward to getting out of this stinking, rotten flesh, and I'm looking forward to being able to put down this sword and shield and get out of this spiritual warfare. But you know what happens, truthfully? Most Christians today are so comforted. Comfortable air-conditioned church, comfortable pew, comfortable car, comfortable job, comfortable savings account, comfortable health, comfortable everything, that you don't want to leave. There's nothing. I mean, why would you want to leave when you've got so much comfort? Paul knew the worst of suffering, the worst of the flesh, and the worst of the spiritual warfare. He was ready to get out of this body. He knew what he would escape. Now, if you're in the Laodicean church, like John warned us we'd be in, he said, we have need of nothing. We're rich and have need of nothing. If you're in that situation, you're way too comfortable. Way too comfortable. You need to get more like Paul was to say, it's far better to die than it is to live in this situation. You're just not experiencing all that you can experience out of your Christian life. I guess what do the Marines say? Be all that you can be. You ought to be all that you can be for God. Now, there was a fourth reason that Paul was ready to boogie, and that is he was in love with the one he would see. All right? He knew where he was going when he died. He knew what was waiting for him. He knew what he would escape, and he was in love with the one he would see. See, Paul had it right. Look what Jesus Christ told us in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, what did Jesus Christ tell us? He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the problem with a lot of Christianity today, is that the treasure is down here. The fancy car, the fancy house, the fancy church. And the truth of the matter is, Paul's treasure was on the other side. What did he have? Hardly enough clothing, no permanent dwelling place. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, he had nothing when he died. So if your treasure's down here, well, then that's where your heart's going to be. But if your treasure is above, well, then that's where your heart's going to be. And obviously, that's where Paul's heart was. And if you're too locked in down here, well, your heart's in the wrong place, because your treasure's in the wrong place. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So Christ ought to be your life, and your affection ought to be so heavenward on things above that you look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ more than you look forward to anything else in life, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul's affection was above. Paul's treasure was above, and that's where his heart was, and he wanted to be with the one he loved because he knew when he died he would see him. So those are four really good reasons to leave. But that's not all. Paul didn't say that's all he wanted. It's almost like a suicidal maniac. Kill me so I can be with the Lord. You know, I've thought about that. You know that Paul was stoned. You can read about that in the book of Acts. He was stoned, and when he was, they left him for dead. I think it was outside of Lystra or Derbe. They left him for dead. You know what happened to Paul as soon as he rose up from that deathbed experience? He went right back into the town where they had stoned him. Why? Well, I heard a preacher say one time, it's so they would finish the job. After what he had seen, he didn't want to be down here anymore. Well, there's probably a lot of truth in that. But he also said, verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said in verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. His desire to live then was not out of selfish motivation. His life was Christ, for to me to live is Christ, he said in verse 21. So Paul would rather have died. That was far better, he said, to be with the Lord. However, since he was still in the body, he had great need to be in the body for the sake of the saints that he was ministering to, for the sake of the souls that he was leading to Christ through his preaching. His time was totally given to their need, not his own. He was a real minister. He wasn't padding his own bank account. He was there for the people to whom he was given the responsibility to minister. Now look at his life as a minister. Here is the perfect balance of a man who's got everything set on heaven, but fulfilling all of his obligations and the ministry given to him on earth. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now notice how uncharacteristic Paul's life was by comparison to so many ministers today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul obviously wasn't concerned about losing his salvation. He knew where he was going when he died. His concern was that he would be a castaway in the ministry because he would allow certain things in his body that would not make him suitable as a minister for those people that God had him to minister to. He became whatever it needed to be, whatever he needed to be, in order to be an adequate and appropriate minister to those that God called him to minister to. You know what he said? He said, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Paul was so conscious of other people's convictions, he would have become a vegetarian for the sake of helping a weak brother grow in Christ if that's what was required. He always had the other man's interest at heart. He always sought to please the other man, not himself. He always held them in esteem above himself. As far as he was concerned, he considered himself to be a fool, totally inadequate for the work that God had called him to do. He simply realized that he had his adequacy in the grace of God, not in his flesh, and he made himself a very able and capable minister to everybody that he ministered to. Look in Romans chapter 15. Look what he told the Romans. Verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. This is so unlike the ministry today. Churches pop up all over the place like convenience stores, and they seem to be there more for the profit of the pastor than for anything else. The truth of the matter is that Paul decided it was better to die than it was to live because he knew where he was going when he died. He knew what was waiting for him. He knew what he would escape, and he was in love with the one he would see. But he decided that it was good to go ahead and live because that was more needful for the people that he was ministering to. And he had their need in his heart more than his own need. And so therefore he kept under his body and kept it in subjection and became all things to all men that he might by all means save some. That's not like most of the ministry today. And so Paul has given us a tremendous example. We ought to be very conscious of this. Do you know where you're going when you die? You say, yes, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. And I ask you the question, why? And you say, because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Excellent. Do you know what's waiting for you when you get there? And is that more precious to you than what you have here? Do you know what you're going to escape when you get out of this body? Are you suffering enough for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ today that it'll be a relief to you to get out of this body? Are you more in love with Jesus Christ than anything else on this earth? If so, you, like Paul would say, for me to die is gain. To be with Christ is far better. And if you can't say that, then one of those four things, or perhaps something else, is tying you too closely to the things of the earth. And you need to set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Maybe your treasure's down here and not in heaven. Also, like Paul, are you so interested in the welfare of others? Do you esteem others better than yourselves? Are you so much a minister? I don't mean a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a choir director or something like that. I mean a minister. Every one of us is a minister. Are you so ministering to the needs of the brethren and the needs of lost souls that you realize the reason that God has left you here in your body is for their sake and not your own? You see, you got to remember something. The abundance of a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of his possessions. We're not down here to build up some great storehouse of possessions and ownership. You are here for the sake of ministering, as a Christian, for ministering to those that are here, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and lost souls who have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, give your time to them. And then like Paul, you could say, you know, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has not taken me off this earth into heaven indicates that there is some purpose that I must have in serving him here in the earth. You know, find out what that purpose is and become a very able minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of others. Would you do that? Would you do that? I'll tell you what, boy, it'd be a great, great thing for you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.